A huge part of being crunchy is being intentional. Nothing that you do as a crunchy mom is on accident. You are making choices. And by choosing cleaner products, choosing whole foods for your family, that's intentional. And by doing that, you will simplify. You will pare down.
Hello and welcome to the Minimalist Moms Podcast. I'm not the crunchiest person, but I aspire to add more of a crunchy touch to my life. So I was thrilled to speak with Emily Morrow, creator of the hilarious Instagram account, Really Very Crunchy. Emily has garnered over 2 billion views and over 2 million followers in 2 years with comedy sketches about the stereotypical crunchy moms. What's her mission, you ask? It's to relieve pressure from being the perfect mom and bring lightheartedness to the serious issue of toxic products and, well, people. In today's conversation, we discuss simple swaps for a crunchier lifestyle, financial considerations, balancing crunchy choices with non-crunchy ones, navigating family relationships as crunchy moms, and more. But before we get there, I quickly want to share a minimalist moment of the week. This is actually more of a mantra that I try to live by, and it's need, then buy. A lot of us have collected so much more than you could ever use or need. Shopping has become a leisure activity. We have programmed ourselves into thinking that you need to run to the store whenever you think that you need something. But how often do you stop to evaluate whether you actually needed that thing? I think one easy way to combat this would be to ask yourself, do I really need this now? Not only does this question help get perspective, but it can help you clarify if you actually need to replace that item, whether you can do without it, buy it later, or come up with a creative solution to satisfy the problem. It really does take a reprogramming of sorts after being in the habit of overconsumption. And of course, we are still going to buy those things that are not needed, but continue to assess, and thankfully, most stores do have generous return policies and you can correct your mistake if need be. So the minimalist moment or reflection of the week is to implement this mantra of need, then buy. Again, taking the time to consider, do I really need this now? Find out what you actually need and then buy. And with that, let's get into this conversation with Emily Morrow.
Well, Emily, thanks so much for joining me today on the Minimalist Moms Podcast.
Thanks for having me. I'm super excited about this one.
I'm excited too. I've been following along with you on my personal page. Your little videos would pop up on my Discover feed. So when I heard that you were writing a book, I was very excited to get my hands on it. So I can't wait to dive into how to be really very crunchy. But before we get there, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself and then we'll jump in.
Yeah, I'm Emily Morrow, creator of Really Very Crunchy. Well, co-creator. I like to make sure I say that co-creator because my husband plays a huge role in making those videos happen. I have 2 boys. I homeschool and it's kind of funny. Whenever my publicist was like, do you want to be on the Minimalist Moms Podcast? I was like, I don't really know if that is who I am, but I do strive to simplify my life. And I have been a minimalist in many different times of my life. So I definitely feel like this conversation will be interesting. And I think I'll walk away with some wisdom from you as well. I started Really Very Crunchy sort of as a means of self-deprecating humor. My husband was like, you're crazy and funny. So we should make these videos about you being this crazy crunchy mom. So that's what we started doing. And really, it wasn't meant to be something educational. But throughout the course of making these videos, so many people have, like, their eyes have been open to different issues or different ideas that they never thought about before. And so I've gotten so many messages about, like, what does it mean to be crunchy? How do I start my crunchy journey? I don't even know what to do. I don't even know how to get informed. And so through that, I thought, well, writing a book would be a really great opportunity to kind of share what I know. I'm not an expert. I'm not a scientist or a doctor. I'm just a mom, a crunchy mom who's done my own research, tried my best to inform myself. And so this book is sort of, I like to think of it like I'm just an old friend and we're sitting down to pop open a bottle of kombucha and talk about ways to make our lives a little more healthy.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the thing that I don't regret about the name Minimalist Moms, but as there has been an evolution of the show, I think minimalism is this umbrella of simplicity, intentionality, just trying to, I always say, think more and do with less. And I do think that that's what you're doing. You're just trying to cultivate an intentional life. And so I think that our brands wholeheartedly align.
Yes, for sure. Definitely. A huge part of being crunchy is being intentional. Nothing that you do as a crunchy mom is on accident. You are making choices. And by choosing cleaner products, choosing whole foods for your family, that's intentional. And by doing that, you will simplify. You will pare down. So I think you're totally right.
Yeah. I think with this topic in particular, it can seem overwhelming. It can seem really expensive. And so people just ignore it. They don't want to think about it. And they immediately just are like, oh, that's not a thing. Radiation from such and such is not a thing. So one of the reasons that I like you and what you're putting out is because it's less judgmental. You're not saying you have to do this. You're saying these are some simple steps or some ways to be curious. And then you go do your own research. You wrote your book from the perspective of this is the research I've done, but also this is a stepping stone for you to open up your mind and dig deeper into these things for your own family. And here are some ways to do it. So I guess, do you have any other encouragement before we dive into your recommendations?
So my book is called Really Very Crunchy, A Beginner's Guide to Removing Toxins from Your Life Without Adding Them to Your Personality. Because it does seem that when people start learning more, there's this whole, I'm sure most people have heard this, know better, do better. And at first, that was sort of a positive thing, like an encouragement. Yeah, when you know better, you can make better choices. But then it sort of like shifted into this condemning statement, like, come on, know better, do better. Like, I can feel it when people even comment that jokingly on my videos. It's like a stabbing pain because nobody wants to be wrong. Nobody wants to feel inadequate. And I have totally felt that coming from that friend who was telling me about the toxic hand soap. She was a sweet, sweet friend. And I still am in contact with her. But just that feeling of belittlement and being wrong when I'm trying to do my best, you don't know what you don't know. So you can't blame someone for not knowing or for not caring, honestly. I talk about my book, Where You Come From Matters. My family, we didn't have a lot of extra funds. And so to me, the idea of making choices rather than just trying to survive is kind of a strange one because, and I feel like so many, especially in this economy, are just trying to survive and they can't invest in all these fancy products or systems, you know, like, and I think crunchiness is about simplifying, about looking back at how did our great grandmother do this? How did they survive the depression? One thing my mom always told me every Christmas was, your grandmother wouldn't rip the paper on Christmas packages because we had to fold it up and use it again. So there are so many little things like that in our lives. If we would just look back at how our ancestors and people who came before us in harder times did things, it would really simplify our lives. And it doesn't require investing a ton of money or buying more things, making things more complicated. It's just about simplifying.
This episode is sponsored by ByHeart. I'm so happy to partner with ByHeart because their goal is to create a future where all parents feel amazing about feeding their baby, no matter how they do it. Their mission is simple: make the best infant formula in the world. Let me tell you a little bit more. ByHeart's patented protein blend gets closest to breast milk by including the two most abundant proteins in breast milk, plus whole and partially broken down proteins for a nutritious blend that's gentle on tummies. ByHeart ran a clinical trial where they compared their formula to a leading infant formula, improved benefits like less spit up, easier digestion, and so much more. ByHeart is leading the ways in a lot of ways. They're the only U.S.-made infant formula to use organic, grass-fed, whole milk, not skim, It's the only new infant formula brand to add a comparison to breast milk in their clinical trial, and By Heart is the first infant formula company to receive Clean Label Project's Purity Award. So are you curious about By Heart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with code MINIMALIST for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply.
With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom? Let me tell you more about mylifeinabook.com. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions that you choose to ask. And mylifeinabook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book.
One of the challenges I face with being a minimalist is wanting to be as intentional as possible about the things that I am buying. I do understand that I live in a world where I can't completely avoid purchases. There are birthdays, there are holidays, there are the celebrations. But if I can be more intentional about gift giving, it's so important to me. I've had the experience to gift one to my mom, and being able to gift that to her seemed more significant than something that wasn't as sentimental to her. So if this sounds like a gift that you'd be interested in giving, check out mylifeinabook.com and use code MINIMALIST at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com and use code MINIMALIST for 10% off today. I have a new sponsor that's perfect for my show. The company is Trust and Will. Trust and Will is actually named after exactly what they do. They make trusts and they make wills. My husband and I have been putting off writing our wills for years now. With every trip that we take, we're always reminded that it's something that we need to do when we haven't. However, I've been recently talking about Swedish death cleaning, and after my episode with Emily McDermott, episode 207, I decided that I needed to put it to the top of my list. So when I saw that Trust and Will wanted a partner, I immediately said yes. And I'm really not kidding you when I tell you that my husband and I were able to sit down, work through the prompts. It's super user-friendly, and it took us maybe 30 minutes. There may be some more questions that you want to go a bit more in-depth, but for us, it took us maybe 30 minutes. I think an important part of an intentional life is planning for the future in this way. It's not the most pleasant thing to think about, but it's necessary. So you can gain peace of mind today with Trust and Will. Get 10% off plus free shipping of your estate plan documents by visiting trustandwill.com/minimalist. That's 10% off and free shipping at trustandwill.com/minimalist.
I want to go back to, you have this platform, you've written this book, but what started your pursuit of learning about what it meant to be crunchy, or I guess what prompted that in you?
I think there are a few different aspects of my life. Like, just like minimalism, crunchy is sort of this umbrella term that encompasses anyone seeking to live a more natural, holistic life. And so that can be through food, or that can be through spending time outside. And so like my crunchy journey kind of came from several different areas. Starting out, it was probably food. My husband and I used to live in an RV. And so that was one time in my life I truly was a minimalist, because we just could not have a bunch of stuff. We lived in a Class A that didn't have any slides. So we basically just lived in a hallway. And our closets were about like 1 foot by 2 feet. You could only have so many clothes. When we were in that RV, we were living off of my husband's royalties. He had self-published some science fiction novels, and it was all so unpredictable, like what his royalties would be. And 1 month, we found out he was only going to make $600. And so we're like, okay, how can we sustain ourselves on $600? We have to eat. What are ways that I can save money on food without having to be like this crazy coupon lady? And so I started just researching that, like what cheap ways to eat healthy. And one thing I read said, only buy foods if they're processed. Only buy them if they have 5 ingredients or less. And so that cut out so many foods for me. And that was probably like 13 years ago, 12 years ago. So I hadn't really, like, Instagram wasn't a huge thing yet or anything. So I was kind of just on my own finding information about healthy eating and eating whole foods. That wasn't how I was raised. So yeah, just cutting out all these extra ingredients made me more aware of what's in our food. And we started eating less processed food because we started feeling better when we were eating whole foods. And so that was kind of like my food journey. But I didn't even think about all the products like Windex that was in my cabinet or shampoo. And that journey sort of started. I was pregnant with my first son. And I was invited to this essential oils party. That was probably, I guess, about 7 years ago. And I didn't know the lady hosting it very well, but I knew it was her birthday. And so I showed up with a little gift of some Miss Meyer's lemon verbena hand soap and a linen tea towel, thinking that was just like a cute little gesture of happy birthday. And she is honestly one of the sweetest people I know. But when she pulled that hand soap out, she said, "This is actually so toxic." Like in a, it just caught me off guard. Like, what? It's soap. Soap is, at its very nature, supposed to be clean. What do you mean this is toxic? I'd never heard that terminology before. So, like I said, I don't think she was trying to be mean. That was probably not the best way to go about educating me. But she told me about this app that I could download, that I could search different products that I was using to see how toxic they were on a scale of 1 to 10. And when I got in the car, I searched that hand soap and it was an 8. And I was like, what? An 8? An 8 out of 10? Like 10 being the most toxic thing? This was an 8? So that just really surprised me. And I went home and I was like, well, what about this? What about that? What am I using in my home? I tend to be a little frantic. So I was shocked by everything that I had been using. But I decided to just like slowly start making swaps, slowly make changes when I could. When I ran out of a product, I would try to find something cleaner. And then my son was born. And like all of a sudden, I was responsible for making choices for someone else that would impact their health and longevity. And I wanted to do everything right, like most moms are trying to do the best they can. So definitely like all these different aspects then intervened into what I would just call crunchiness, you know? So that's sort of how the journey started.
Okay. You said so many things that I want to make sure that we address before the show ends. You talked about feeling overwhelmed at all the changes that you possibly needed to make. So I think that's one thing I want to hit on. You talked about Mrs. Meyer's hand soap, and I'm thinking about the price point of that. You're probably paying for branding, to be honest with you. But I want to talk about budgeting and the cost of being crunchy and maybe some misconceptions we have. I've always said I'd rather invest upfront versus long-term when I have all these medical bills because I'm so ill. So let's talk about those three things for sure. But I want to talk first and foremost about just simple ways that we can start to implement crunchiness in our own life, especially if we're not someone that identifies in that way. What are quick swaps that we can make to become more crunchy?
Sure. So I've actually heard it in your podcast. You've talked about one of your advertisers is an air purifier. And you said you noticed such a change whenever you put that air purifier in your home. So we all know that air quality is super important. And I don't want to say that you shouldn't get an air purifier because I think that I have totally invested in one. I think it's a great idea. But one way that you can clean your air is by opening your windows for 15 minutes a day. That's a huge, makes a huge impact on your indoor air quality. So that's one super easy swap that everyone should be able to do. And if you're like me, growing up, the windows had been painted shut, so we couldn't actually open our windows. Open your door. Surely you have some spot in your house you can open to let fresh air in and the stale, polluted air out. Another swap is to get rid of, and this goes along with air quality, but also products that you're using on your body, fragrances. The word fragrance is, it sounds so simple, like, oh, well, there's just one little thing in that. It's just a fragrance, you know, but that word can actually mean dozens, sometimes hundreds of chemicals in that one word, fragrance. So if you could just get rid of fragrances in all of your products, in all the things you're adding to your home, which is overwhelming. I mean, at this point, people are using fragrance toilet paper, fragrance trash bags, fragrance hand soap, fragrance shampoo. You know, like every little thing has to have a smell or we don't feel like it feels fresh. Getting away from using those is a huge step in the crunchy journey. I feel like that might be one of the hardest first steps because you're just so used to things smelling good. Another thing would be cutting down on as many single-use products that you can. So look around your home. What are you using only once? Paper towels? Ziploc baggies? There are plenty of options for you to use something more than once. And I mean, just the very term single use is so anti-minimalist, right? So yeah, getting rid of single use plastics and papers. Yeah.
Yeah, what's reusable for sure.
I want to talk about people's perception of finances when it comes to being crunchy, because I do think that when we go to the grocery store and we see things that are organic, non-GMO, which there's a rabbit hole we could take on the mislabeling of things in grocery stores, but even just getting stainless steel water bottles or containers for our children's food, all this stuff does add up. Organic sheets, they're more expensive, but they are very comfy. Air purifiers. Yes, you have this initial investment that might be a little bit more. So what is your encouragement there with what it looks like financially to add crunchiness into your lifestyle?
Be willing to have less. So for example, if you want to shift your closet to a crunchier closet, crunchier clothes, if you're buying them new, are often more expensive. So instead of buying a new dress for whenever you are getting family photos or you're going on vacation, so you want to buy new this, new that. Like, invest in things that are high quality and be okay with wearing the same thing over and over. Like, that's a choice you're making for your health. You're going to have to make this little sacrifice of maybe you don't have tons of different options, but at least you know what you have is good. Same thing with like water bottles, like you were saying, or food containers. Instead of spending, I mean, how much money do people spend on Ziploc bags? I bet it adds up over time. It doesn't look like it because you're just making these micro purchases. But if you saved that money and then invested it in quality food containers for your children, it probably would even out even. Yeah. And things like sheets. So I think if you're sleeping on polyester sheets and you can't afford organic cotton sheets, well, at least just buy cotton sheets or go to the thrift store and look for cotton sheets. So what if your sheets don't match? Like, there have been times where my pillowcases don't match, my fitted sheet doesn't match because I just kind of cobbled together what I could, doing the best that I can. Just look for opportunities to make changes in the micro. You don't have to go all out. Certainly don't go into debt over it. Just look for little opportunities to make healthier choices. And there's always a little bit better. How can you do a little bit better without radically changing everything?
Absolutely. And what you're saying aligns with, again, minimalism and just what I try to teach people here with this show, in that what is your motivation for why you make the choices that you do? So if you're someone that's like, no, my bed can't be mismatched, I can't have the sheets not match the pillowcases, because that would be aesthetically pleasing. It's like, to who? Who's in your bedroom? Are you photographing it for social media? Because then maybe you do care, but then what's your underlying motivation there? And I think if we were actually really honest with ourselves and kind of dug deeper through some of these things, we may not like what we find in ourselves, but also there is a compromise that we make because there are things that I do that are not very crunchy. And in other ways, I try to be as crunchy as I can and I get kind of crazy about it. So there is that healthy balance. And I want to know how you have found balance in your own life. Do you do non-crunchy things still is what I should say?
Definitely sometimes do non-crunchy things. Though whenever I say those things to my husband, like, for example, drinking a LaCroix or something, we don't buy those regularly. But if I'm offered one out, I definitely will like jump on that. I love that. But it has flavors added. Even natural flavors aren't totally natural. They're lab derived. So I avoid that in my life. But then my husband would be like, Emily, if you told someone that that's not a crunchy choice, they're going to roll their eyes at you. But it just can be like as extreme as you want it to be. So something to me that's not very crunchy might be extra crunchy to somebody else. But something we can all agree on that isn't crunchy is my family occasionally, like our guilty pleasure is going to Culver's. And I feel like I've said this over and over in podcasts, like, here's the scoop. Culver's custard is delicious. So Culver's, this is not paid for by Culver's. I probably should try to get some sort of collaboration with them. Though I wouldn't recommend because they use corn syrup in their custard. And I am aware of this and I still will occasionally treat myself and consume it. I know that that exposure is not going to harm me. It's not going to hurt me. I'm not doing it all the time. It's a special treat. And I will say I've been like anytime I go, I get recognized. And I'm always like, oh, hi, Crunchy Mom should not be here, but here I am. And it's fine. Like life is not about achieving perfection. That's not possible. You will drive yourself insane. I've tried and you can't do it. So, definitely know that when you can make the best choice, do it. And it's okay if you choose not to. One thing I like to think about is what is the rule in my family? The rule in my family is that we pretty much eat homemade, made from scratch meals. So the exception to the rule is sometimes we go to Culver's and that's totally fine because that's not what we're doing every day. It's all about the choices that you make regularly that really matter.
Definitely. And I think when you have the label of crunchy, I have the label of minimalist. And so there are definitely areas in which I am a maximalist in. And I don't want judgment there, especially I love books. We have a giant bookshelf downstairs and my husband is always like, we need to go through and declutter. And I'm like, oh, it is. I did declutter. Mm-hmm. It is minimal, but to others, it wouldn't be. But I don't want to be discredited because for the majority of my life, I do try and apply simplicity and minimalism. But I was going to say one more thing. Oh, when I was pretty radical about food 9 years ago, it was debilitating to where even if I went to a restaurant with the seed oils and I don't know what you're putting in my food, to where I wouldn't go. And to me, I was missing out on experiences with friends and family because I was so in my own head, which was honestly a big dose of cortisol that I didn't need. Again, we have to look holistically at what crunchy means or what it means to have these labels. So I don't have anything else to say. I just agree with you.
No, and I want to add to that. I found myself feeling actual fear over non-organic strawberries. Mm. And it's ridiculous when you step back and you think like, I feel actual true anxiety over my children eating these non-organic strawberries. That's not healthy. Mm-hmm. What stress is far more damaging than whatever trace amounts of pesticide my kids are getting from those strawberries. When I can choose organic, of course I'm going to, but it is not worth worrying over or stressing over. And that's actually an eating disorder whenever you become afraid of food. And so whenever I learned about that eating disorder, I was like, okay, yep, this is gone to an unhealthy degree and I'm not gonna allow that. And thankfully, I wasn't like so far in that I wasn't able to back out just on my own. But I could definitely see that being a trap, just people going so extreme that they're scared. And you're right, the cortisol is so much more damaging than whatever they're scared of, probably.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I love that you said I don't love that you were missing out on time with family and friends, but that is definitely something I have prioritized in my life. I want my kids to have a really good relationship with my parents. I did not have a relationship with my grandparents. And so my parents really do try their best, but they don't even think about everything I think about. They couldn't because they're not passionate about it. So they do try to respect the boundaries that I've set forth, but they don't understand it all. And sometimes they slip up. And I've just decided that relationship is so much more important to me than them making all the little choices that I want them to make. And so I don't sweat it. It's like I said, it's not the rule. It's an exception to the rule. My kids aren't at my parents' house every single day. It's good to be flexible, be loose, hold your convictions a little bit loosely.
Yeah.
And prioritize relationships.
I'm so glad you said that, because that was one of the last things I wanted to touch on was, what does that familial relationship look like when you are choosing to do things drastically different than your family members? Because I think even with something like minimalism, it's been a struggle with certain family members to get them to understand the way that we're trained to live life. And the only thing I can compare it to right now in regards to crunchiness is my parents give way more screen time at their house than we do here. And there probably does need to be a conversation, but also I'm like, okay, this isn't happening all the time. When they go over twice a month, is it okay that they have a little bit more screen time? Yeah, I think it is hard to be doing things differently from your parents because you feel like you owe your parents something because they raised you and got you to this point in a certain way, but then you have to evolve as humans. So it's a lot heavier than it seems. And I think that's why it's so overwhelming to us sometimes when our parents don't oblige by our preferences.
Yeah. And I think anyone who's in a healthy relationship with their parents, mm-hmm. then your parent is going to be open to listening to what you have to say and hopefully willing to respect that. But something I talk about in my book is maybe that takes a little more work from you. So you don't want your kids to eat what the grandparents are serving them when they go over there. Well, prepare a meal before you take them. If that is frustrating to you, make it happen. If you don't like the treats they're giving your kids, but you feel like grandparents should be able to treat your kids, provide the treats that you're okay with. Surely anyone in their right mind would be willing to do that. And if you sit down and have a heart to heart and use language that you would use with your spouse in a disagreement, where you're not like, why do you always do this? Why do you, that's not how you have healthy conflict. You sit down and you say, this is really important to me. And I know you may not understand it, but this is how I want to raise my children for this reason, this reason, this reason. And surely they'll be willing to have an open mind about it, especially if you're willing to come alongside them and help them accomplish the goals that you're hoping. Maybe even say with screen time, you say hey, how about we only do one episode while they're over there? Or, just try to set boundaries, but also be willing to give a little instead of, we just don't do screen time. We're just not going to do that. I don't feel like that's fair because I know my dad uses screen time with my boys. He is tired. When he sees them, he's worked all day. He's in his 60s, So it's not fair for him to ask him to get on the floor and wrestle with my boys and engage with them how I want him to engage with them. So I say okay, well, how about we only watch educational videos on YouTube together and then talk about them together instead of just be like, no screen time. Just be flexible, be willing to give a little, and then set the boundaries that you're okay with.
Absolutely. Well, if we didn't answer your questions there, you have a chapter in your book called When Your Family Isn't Crunchy. So I definitely direct people to your book. But is there any other word of encouragement that you want to leave with listeners before we wrap up?
In anything that you're pursuing, know that nothing happens on accident. This is just something that I realized very recently. There are these women in my life from earlier in my childhood that were like so active looking, beautiful, fit, like just the ideal aging body, I guess. I'm not trying to say that there is a perfect type, but these women just looked healthy. And I recently joined this exercise class, and it meets at 5:30 in the morning. And when I went in there, it was so weird. These two women who like stood out in my mind were in that class. And through my childhood, I think I would have thought that's just their genetics. That's just how they are. But really, they made a choice to stay active and make healthy choices so that they can be like that. And I think that applies to anything. If there's someone you see that has a strength, it's probably because they're being intentional. They're making whatever it is that they're shining in a priority. I think intentionality breeds opportunity. Like with my platform, people look at me and they're like, how did your Instagram just explode? It was like it just happened overnight. But I decided to post a video every single day. And through that, opportunities have come up. And it's been such an amazing blessing for my family. But it didn't happen on accident. So whatever you want to focus on, whatever's important to you, prioritize it, make it happen, make the choices, make the sacrifices, and I think you'll be pleased with the outcome.
Absolutely. I feel like I want a deeper dive because just thinking about you in your RV with your husband's royalties to now with 2.5 million followers, I just would love to talk to you again at some point, just going deeper and richer into your story because it's so fascinating to me. But until then, where can listeners connect with you online?
Sure. I'm on all the social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Snapchat. Is that all of them? TikTok, Really Very Crunchy. That's all you have to search is Really Very Crunchy. And then my book comes out March 12th. The title is Really Very Crunchy. So it's not hard to remember. So you can search me if you're interested in reading my book. Any online retailer, your favorite retailer to buy books from. And then also on Audible.
Perfect. Well, quickly before we end, I always ask my guests two questions. And the first one is, what's been a beneficial resource in your life that you want to share with the listeners?
There's a book by Julia Watkins. It's called Simply Living Well. And I think if your podcast listeners are mostly interested in the minimalist life, they will really love that. And like we were talking about how minimalism and crunchiness pair really well together, that's sort of what this book is. It's like the ultimate minimalist meets crunchy mom. So definitely check out that book. It's a great resource.
Okay, cool. Maybe I'll have to reach out to her because it sounds like we're very like-minded. All right. And then my last question is, what's something you can't stop talking about?
Yeah. Something I've really been focused on lately is adopting nourishing habits and hobbies instead of being passive with my time. It's so easy to be passive and not create. And so something I decided, and everyone and their mother has also decided this, but I want to grow more flowers. Flowers bring me so much joy. And I think in the past, I felt like this pressure to grow produce, grow food so I can can it and be able to provide food for my family, be more self-sufficient. But I'm just really not good at that. I've tried and it doesn't bring me that much joy. And I've never been able to grow enough to even can my own pasta sauce or anything like that. So I've decided this year to focus on flowers, growing more flowers. And so I'm really excited about it. I didn't even know that daffodils had different varieties. And so I've been pumped about my daffodils are coming up and just, yeah, pretty flowers, pretty things.
Yeah, I love that. We recently moved. We moved back in October and we were getting the end of the flower season. And the lady that lived here before, her garden was just meticulous. It was amazing. It was so beautiful. And I'm like, I hope I can do half of what she had going on here. So maybe I should call her and have her come help me. But I agree. I think flowers are amazing and so joy-filled. So Emily, thank you so much for joining me today. Thank you for writing this book. Thank you for being so silly and fun on the internet. I love to see your Instagram reels pop up. Thanks for joining me today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Diane. This was so much fun.
What did you think of the episode? I hope you enjoyed the conversation. To learn more about today's guest, including links, resources related to everything discussed today, visit the episode page at minimalistmomspodcast.com, where you can find the entire podcast archive, as well as my book, Minimalist Moms, Living and Parenting with Simplicity, or other ways to connect or work with me online. If you'd like to support the podcast, the easiest and most impactful thing you can do is subscribe to the show on iTunes, Spotify, or YouTube, or wherever you listen to podcasts, and leave a rating or review of your favorite episode. Lastly, sharing the show or your favorite episode with friends on social media is very helpful and will encourage others on their journey to think more and do with less.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for festival style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. Tecovas is a terrific boot brand, and they're bringing a fresh perspective to heritage bootmaking. They've carried forward all the time-honored traditions and quality that you find in a great pair of cowboy boots, but they've innovated on comfort, style, and service. I've said this before, but as someone who tries to pursue a minimalist lifestyle, I highly value quality over quantity, especially when it comes to my clothes and my shoes. And I'm telling you, you can't find a higher quality boot than Tecovas. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized, and with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into the store, just visit tecovas.com, that's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.